This is the scripture that I want you to take in. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I repeat it. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. When the Bible speaks about man being lost, it simply means that man is away from God because of sin. Just as there is a Berlin Wall that separates two societies, the East and the West of Germany, so that there is a sin wall that separates man from God. When the scripture speaks about the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, it means this, that the Lord Jesus came into this world to remove the sin barrier, and so to bring man back to God so that man could be now right with God, and that is called being saved. And that is why Jesus came into the world. Now I want to tell you a modern story that took place a few years ago in the heart of Germany that really illustrates that fact beautifully. A group of miners left their home one Monday morning, and little did they realize what was going to happen. The birds were singing. It was a lovely late spring morning. The flowers were out. The new green shoots were coming through the earth. The lovely green leaves were filling the trees after a very bare, bleak winter. And as these men were going to work, they were all talking about what happened over the weekend. Again, they didn't realize what was going to happen on that fatal Monday morning. They got to the pit head, they changed their clothing, and they got into their pit uniforms, and they were hurried down to the bowels of the earth, and there they were digging for iron ore. And as they were digging for iron ore, suddenly they heard a violent explosion that shook the whole of the mine. Then they heard the pit warning system going off, and they knew it was not a practice, it was the real thing. And these men were so shaken that they were still and they couldn't do a thing. They were actually petrified with fear. And whilst they were standing still because they were numb with fear, they looked around their feet and they could see bubbles of water because the springs had been disrupted in the mouth. And then the pit foreman in this one particular pit realized what had happened, and he said to the men, "Run, follow me." And as they were following this pit foreman, they saw those little bubbles of water turning into little springs of water. And from springs of water, they turned into a stream of water. And from a stream of water, into a torrent of death. And within 5 minutes, they were chest deep in water. Eventually, they came to this rock upon which they climbed. And 40 men were sheltered on this rock, and they watched. And they could see the waters of death climbing higher and higher, and although many of them were atheists, they were praying that those waters would stop. And as they came to the top of the ledge of the rock, everyone was sweating. Those waters miraculously stopped. And there they were, 40 men trapped away from life. And they were on that rock for approximately 24 hours when their pit helmets went out. And there they were in this dumb darkness. Just there in front of them were the waters of death, and they could hear almost the deathly chuckle of the water. They couldn't see one another's faces, mainly because they were blackened by the mine and by the iron ore, and all they could see with the little whites of their eyes in that terrible dark. And these men realized as they were sheltered on that rock, in one way it was good to be alive, but they realized that they were away from the light, they were away from life, and they were helpless. And young people, ladies and gentlemen, that is where the human family is as far as God is concerned. Because sin has come between us and God, we are away from God, who is the truth. And that's what we mean by light. When the Bible speaks of light, it doesn't mean an electric light or the sunlight. It means the light of truth. And because man is away from God, he is in darkness. You say, but what kind of darkness? He's in the dark about his sins. He doesn't know his sin as he should do. He's all dark about them. He's in the dark about God. In fact, most people who live today are dead towards God. And they're all dark towards God. And God is a mystery to them because they're separated from God. But more than that, they're in the dark concerning their destination. And people do not realize today that if death came and they died without God, they would be without God forever in that sphere that God calls outer dark. Some person might say, well, Mr. Brandon, I still do not know basically what you're talking about. Let me explain like this. Sometimes if you're not good at maths, the master puts a sum on the board and you look at it and he says, is that clear? Have you got light about it? And you may nod your head because you don't want to be in trouble, but you know you don't understand it. You're all in the dark. You've had that experience. Sometimes another master will put some kind of English on the board and he will say, now look, pick out the verbs. And you might say, boy, I wish I knew where a verb was. Now, have you got light about the verbs? And you might say, oh, yes, I suppose I have, but it's all dark to you. You're in the dark sometimes about maths. You're in the dark about your English. In the same way, the human family is in the dark about God. It's all mystical to them. They're in the dark about their own sins. In fact, if you could get where God is, and if you could look right into your body as God looks into your body, you would say something like this. Oh God, am I as unclean as that? Is a lie as bad as that? That lustful thought, is it really like that? And if you could see sin as God sees sin, you would come back to your body and you would be really sorry for them. But more. If you could see your life and the end of your life, and you could see what takes place after this life, and you could see that great realm called eternity, and people who go out of life into eternity without God and without Christ, you would say this, oh God, I never realized it was serious like that. And you would get saved immediately. But you know what the old devil does? He blinds our inner mind as I blind my natural eyes, so that we cannot see our sins and we cannot see the glory of God. We cannot see our end. And he chuckles and he laughs and he says, right, I've deceived them to the very end. May he not deceive you tonight. Isn't it wonderful to be in a meeting like this when God can help you to understand? These miners were good miners. They were Germans. You know, during the war, I must tell you this, when we were up against the Germans, it was like being up against a steel wall. When we're up against another enemy, I won't mention the country, it was like going through sponge. The Germans were resilient fighters, and these men were like that. And they decided they had to get through to the light, and do you know what they did? They started to scratch through rock with their hands. And for 48 hours, they were scratching until when many of them were found. They hadn't got any flesh on their hands. Scratching through rock, and after 48 hours, they sat down and they said, we're finished. We can't do a thing. We're beaten and we're lost. And there are lots of people who are away from God and they discover it and they say this, right, we've got to do the best we can. We've got to try and keep the commandments. And if we can try and keep the commandments, we'll scratch our way through to God. You never will. You will never get your sins forgiven and your soul saved by leading a good life. It's good to lead a good life, but it will never remove your sins. The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then there are other people who try to get to God by religion. And lots of people say this, right, I'm going to get christened all over again, and they might even call it baptism. I'm going to be confirmed in the church, and if I get christened and confirmed and become a church member and go to church every Sunday, I'll get to God. My word, it's a good thing to go to a gospel hall and go to church and hear the word of God. But that will never save you. Never. Religion can't do it. And as these men were sitting there, they were waiting to die. In fact, I don't like to tell you this, but this is what happened. Some were in the process of just falling in. They had given up the stone. You see, there was no way to get to the light. It was agonizing to wait. They knew nobody would come and release them because they were trapped. So why go on living? And you know, there are hundreds of young people like that. They've gone up a cul-de-sac, and do you know what they're doing? They're injecting themselves with drugs. They're drinking themselves stupid. They're smashing up their lives. They think that's the way out, but it's not. There is a way out, and God can save you. Well, two men were released. And they weren't released from this part of the mine, from another part of the mine, and they let out the news to the whole world, there might be 40 men still alive. And they all knew, at least the managers did of the mine, that if 40 men were alive, they would be alive sheltering on this rock. That was the only place where they could be living. So what they did, they hired a very brilliant German engineer, and he was shown a map of the mine, and then after some brilliant calculations, he says, we'll sink the mine just there. And I want you to imagine it. Here are 40 men waiting to die. One or two were in the process of falling in. They'd given up. The fight for life. When over their heads they hear a rumbling and they couldn't kill it. And then the drill pierced the ceiling of the mine. And when it was taken out, they saw a light. Light. They just collapsed weeping. They saw light. And when they saw light, they knew there was hope. I felt like that as a boy in that tent. Do you know what the preacher told us? We've all sinned, every single one of us. We've all broken the commandments, and I was only 8, and I knew that. The wages of sin was death, and he explained to us that death meant separation from God. And then he told us this, that God had a Savior, and he wanted to come into the world and save us. And just as a boy is in the dark about his thumbs, and suddenly he gets light how to do it. So in that tent, I got light about Jesus. It was wonderful. I wonder if someone is getting light in his mind tonight that Jesus Christ came into this world to save him. And then they dropped a red telephone, and they dropped the wire right the way down. It was almost a mile and a half down. And when one man picked up the telephone, he put it to his ears. This is what he heard. You listen. Hold on. Don't give up. We're going to send down a Savior. And he passed on the news. Men, don't give up. They're going to send down a Savior. And that's what God said in the Old Testament. The moment man sinned, he prophesied that a Savior would come. And do you know how he did it? When a young Israelite man sinned, he would take a lamb from his flock. He would make sure it was without spot and without blemish. It had to be a good lamb. And he would drag it along to the tabernacle. And then he would tell the priest what he had done. And so the priest would say, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I agree. So the little lamb's going to die instead of you. And then he would lay his hand upon the head of the lamb, confess his sin, and then the lamb would be killed, and all its blood would be taken and sprinkled on the four horns of the altar and poured at the base of the altar. And in the sight of God, the little lamb died instead of the boy that sinned. And if that little lamb could speak, it would say something like this. There's nothing in me. God has no pleasure in my blood. But I'm a picture of God's Lamb that's going to come into the world, who's going to deal with the sins of the world. And as you go through the Old Testament, God is saying to the world, hold on, I'm going to send my Saviour. But you know, that didn't save those men, and this is the irony of the whole story. While some of those men were dying, it took them 48 hours to find a Saviour. They wanted a Saviour who was a doctor. They wanted a doctor strong enough to save 40 men. They wanted a doctor loving enough to give his life for 40 men, and they couldn't get a man. And then one man came forward. He was 38 years of age, a brilliant young surgeon, an ex-rugby player. He was 14 and a half stone in weight, and he volunteered to go down. And all the televisions of the world were glued on that man. Some of you may remember. And as he was about to go down, his wife and children were all there, and you saw them kissing their father, saying goodbye. Then you saw the wife kiss him. Then the last person to say goodbye was his aged mother. And she said, goodbye, son. And all she could say was this, good luck. And then he got into a chair called the chair of elevation, because they believed that it was coming up. And the announcer said this, who was viewing the whole scene, ladies and gentlemen, he's in the chair. And the whole world saw it. And he went out of sight. And then he said this, he has gone down from the light into the darkness. He has gone down from life into death to bring those men up. And that's what Jesus did. One day he said, Lord, I'm going down. And he quietly said this, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And he came down into this world with a body like ours, without sin. And he moved among men and women, and he was the only man that never sinned. And as he moved among men and women, he healed their sick. He gave sight to the blind. He raised the dead to show that he was the Son of God. But I must say this. He did something that that German Saviour could never do. He went to a cross of wood, and he allowed wicked men to crucify his hands and his feet. Then he allowed them to lift him up on a Roman gibbet. It's called in the Bible a cross. And then from the sixth to the ninth hour, he must have said something like this, O God, bring the sins of the world together. Bring the judgment together. And let me bear the sin of the world. And you know what God did? He flicked the lights of creation out. He brought upon the world the very darkness of hell. He brought together the sins of the world. And he brought the judgment upon his own Son. And do you know what Jesus said? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And do you know why he was forsaken? Could I point? For your sin. For your sin. For your sin. For your sin. For your sin and your sin. And then when he had borne away sin, he cried with a loud voice, it's finished. And God was so delighted with the work that his Son did, he went down to old Herod's temple and he took hold of the curtain and split it in two. Do you know why? To show that there was a way back to God. And then God raised Jesus from the dead with mighty power, and he's taken him back to heaven, and through Jesus all men and women can be saved and be made right with God. And there's not a boy or a girl, there's not a man or a woman, no, that need perish, for there's a Saviour in the Lord Jesus. When this German Saviour got down there, there was a panic. Now this shows how unkind even weak people can be. And there was one man who wanted to be the first man up, and he trod on three of his companions and seriously hurt one man. And that German saviour got hold of him and put him down, and rightly so. And then he shouted this, "I'm not saving one of you. I'm prepared to go up now unless you promise to give me your faith and obedience." And he waited. And when there was absolute stillness, he went to the first man, probably the weakest, who couldn't lift his arm. And he says, "What about you?" And all that poor fellow could do was to nod his head. That's all. He couldn't lift his arms. He couldn't walk. He couldn't speak. All he could do was to lift his head and nod. And he lifted him up. He put him in a chair. Bound him round. And he said in German what I'm going to say in English. Up! And this is what they saw. A man being lifted from the darkness into the light. From death, right into life. And when the news leaked out, they didn't hear it. But there was a thunderous cheer. Saved! Saved! One was saved. Do you know, I saw that the other day. A man came to see me. Oh, I shall never forget this. He said, "Mr. Brandon, I've heard what you've been talking about for years, that we need to be saved. And I would like to be saved." So I took him in this back room and I said, "Harry, are you a sinner?" "Ah," he says, "I know that." And I looked at him, and although he was a man in his early 50s, his eyes filled with tears. And he was a builder. He was a strong man. I says, "Harry, do you realize this, that if you die in your sins, you're lost?" He says, "That's why I want to get saved." "Good." I said, "Do you believe that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for your sins?" He says, "I do." And I read this scripture to him, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then I hesitated and said, "Do you want to be saved from your sins and from judgment?" "I do." "Are you prepared to make Jesus the Lord of your life?" "What does that mean?" "He controls you completely, your dress, Harry, everything in your life. And he controls it. So that you make him your Savior and Lord." He says, "Yes." And I got down and prayed for him, and then I said, "Now you must pray, Harry." And he couldn't. He says, "I want to pray, I want to, but I can't. It wouldn't be sincere." "Right," I says, "don't you pray. We want nothing mechanical." I said, "I'll go and pray for you when I get home." Well, it was 6:30 Monday morning, the phone went, and I put the phone to my ear and it nearly blew up. He says, "I'm through." I said, "What do you mean you're through?" He says, "I've been saved." I says, "When, Harry?" "2:00 this morning," he said. And he got down out of his bed 2:00 in the morning and he asked the Lord to save him. And do you know what happened in the sight of God? He was lifted from all the darkness into the light. From death into life. Now I want to stop and ask a question. And I want you all to listen. There are young people and older people here tonight, and I want to say this prayerfully. And you're away from God, you're in darkness, you're in dreadful danger. And you desperately need to be saved. And the Lord is waiting to save you now. And he can save you if you call upon him. And now I'm going to imagine something that didn't take place. I want you to imagine all the men are up except one man, and the Savior goes to him and he says, "Hand, I'm sorry to Let you be the last one, but you seem to be stronger than all the others. What about you? You won't touch me. Why not hands? Well, I'm all right. I've been down here for nearly a week. I can stand another week. But look, hands, I can't stay here longer. I want to save you. That's why I've come and risked my life. Well, it doesn't matter to me. I'll stay here. But look, hands, I want to save you now. You may do, but you're not going to. And then Hans says this to him. I've left 3 children and my wife to save you. And are you going to be an offense to me? Great reluctance, he gets into the chair, he binds himself, he waits, and he says this, look, Hans, I'm willing to come out of this chair if you let me save you now. You're not saving me. I'm stopping. And he moves up and he says this, I wanted to save you, Hans, but you wouldn't let me. Now I've got something dreadfully serious to say. There are people here that the Lord Jesus wants to save, and you won't let him. I think I could go deeper. There are young people here and older people here, and you think you're saved, and you know that you're not saved. Can I say this with a loud voice, and yet in my heart there's love, believe it? There are people here tonight, and I know it in my spirit, and you're pretending to be Christians, and you're no more Christian than this hill. And your kind of conversion was a mechanical conversion. It wasn't real, and you know that. And the Lord has come to you tonight, and he wants to desperately save you. This is not the preacher trying to save you, it's the Lord. And I believe he may be speaking to some almost for the last time. And I want to say this with all the love that God can put in it, and I trust I won't raise my voice. If the Lord can subdue it, I hope he does. But there are some young people here tonight, and you're claiming to be a Christian, and I know in my heart that some of you are living in sin. And my dear young friend, you must get right with God tonight. And now, dear friends, this is the last thrust. There are older people here tonight, and you've been breaking bread for years, and some of you have never been saved.
Never.
And the Lord is coming to us all, and tonight he's offering to save us. And the scripture says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. May there be many that will call upon him and trust him now, right now, at this moment.